And good morning. Good Chiefs Raiders day. It'll get handled when it gets handled day, right? And that's what Mahomes said back in training camp. So, yes, a little rivalry day for us. Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris as usual. Our Sunday morning foray into the sports world, which I like the fact that we do this every Sunday, like I've told you, because you can get these college football takes off while they're fresh, you know, fresh from last night. And we have the NFL going on that day. Next week, we'll have to wait till, well, it'll be a lot of Chiefs and Buccaneers, but the Chiefs don't play till Monday night. But they play the Raiders later this afternoon. Good morning, Quentin.
Good morning, and a good college football night last night, even though it got a little close.
For your Wildcats,
my Wildcats,
yes.
It got a little close there. I was at a Halloween party with some of my buddies. One of them is a KU fan, had the game on. Let's just say I was talking trash.
Was he dressed as a KU fan for Halloween, or was he actually a KU fan?
He's actually a KU fan.
Oh, okay.
And I was talking some trash early in the night, and I almost ate my words there. So, thankfully, 51-yard field goal, which is not often what you see in college football.
Which is really weird. You're right. College kickers. This is weird, though, because we've seen 56, 58, 59-yarders from these college kickers, and we've seen them turn around the same guy. Turn around and miss like a 34-yarder. Been very, very weird year kicking.
Yeah, I think some people forget just how good NFL kickers are, especially here in Kansas City, because we've had Harrison Butker for so long. We're just like, some of these things, oh, they're automatic.
Yeah, you take it for granted.
And they are not, especially in college football, because the talent is less.
It had to have been hard as a K-State fan last night. Ugh. Because you're so excited about the season, and you were dancing that fine line between the Pop-Tarts Bowl
and the college football playoffs.
I mean, that seriously, it's one hand you had the Pop-Tart Bowl again, and the other hand you had maybe the college football playoffs. I mean, and you know, you look back at the numbers for Avery Johnson were actually, you know, really good. But that's what's going to happen. And I know rivalry games and all that, Sunflower Showdown, but K-State had won 15 straight. I mean, and I get it. A lot of that's before Lance Leipold got there, so things turn around. But I will say this, both those guys are winners. With Lance Leipold winning at the Division III level, what, six national titles? Chris Klieman winning four at the FCS level. They have a tremendous amount of respect for each other. But I felt Jalen Daniels, Avery Johnson, nice little showdown between those teams. But it was in Manhattan, and I expected this time of year for Kansas State to kind of put their foot down on the gas.
Hey, I'm just happy that we got a great play by KU. You know, big smart brain play. Making sure you establish yourself in bounds before you step out of bounds on the kickoff. I mean, just phenomenal play by him.
That was interesting.
Never seen anything like it, Jay.
No, there was a lot of things I hadn't seen. I mean, college football, the officiating continues to be rough. That Ohio State-Nebraska game, I know there's a lot of Nebraska fans that live here in the area, but they got a tremendous break because that was not targeting by Ohio State. I mean, what are you supposed to do as a defender? He hit him in the shoulder. I mean, there was no lowering of the crown to the head. I don't know if you know the play I'm talking about, but it was a very crucial play towards the end of the game. Ohio State is a point in the game, but they're missing that player now for the first half of the next game against Penn State
who has been phenomenal this year. And
but that was not targeting. That was not even close to targeting.
It's crazy that. And I don't know if it's just because we have more games on, you know, sort of like on their own, like in the NFL, but it does seem like officiating, it just continues to be a problem across all sports, right? Like we had in game one of the World Series, there were so many horrible ball and strike calls. So, I mean, it just seems like this continues to be a problem across all sports. It's not an NFL problem. It's not a college football problem. It's a sports problem.
Yeah, I was talking to Mitch Schwartz at our Friday football show we had at Buffalo Wild Wings out in Olathe. Which, by the way, will be in Lee Summit this week. So we'll be in Lee Summit for the fans football show. I was asking Mitch, you know, the officiating has been, you know, so bad, especially in the NFL. And like about 40% of those guys are full-time employees now, which they all should be full-time employees. Do you know what a lot of the, you know, jobs are of these guys that are NFL officials?
Yeah, they're like lawyers on the side.
Lawyers, CEO, financial advisors. There's high school principals. No, you're getting paid that amount of money. If you don't want to do it and you want to do your, you know, job as a lawyer or whatever, go do that. But the NFL needs full-time officials. It's a high-paying job, and it's one that's got to be accurate. This is a billion-dollar industry. This is the number one sport in our country. And it needs to be officiated by the best. baseball, that's another thing, too. Automated strikes in balls. I mean, let's go. It's 2024. What are we waiting for? We can open our damn garage doors with our cell phones, but we can't get balls and strikes. This is 2024. Again, let's go forward.
Yeah, the NFL also needs to get that sky judge, you know, so like that, you know, non-face mask call on Thursday night, that can get called because you have somebody who's there who can just, you know, radio down, hey, by the way, toss the flag down. There was a face mask. And, you know, I'm excited. I hope it happens next year in baseball. You know, they've got the challenge system for balls and strikes down in the minor league system. I was at an Omaha Storm Chasers game in June, and I saw it in person.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
And you still got the home plate umpire.
The home plate umpire still
because
does
you get you know, the slide at home plate. Are you safe? Are you out? And to be honest with you, it would probably help these guys out too because you get a little bit of a break. I mean, it's got to suck when it's 100 degrees in mid-July and you're squatting down behind the catcher the whole game. I mean, seriously, it's got to suck.
Yeah,
but they do it and they get well paid for it. So
the challenge system, I think, will be very good for the MLB if they promote it to the top to the MLB this year. You know, the pitcher, batter, catcher, and manager all have the ability to challenge it. All you see them do is they just tap their head and. At being in the stadium when they did the challenge call, they put up like a 3D image of the strike zone on the Jumbotron. It's very dramatic. It was very good as a participant in the crowd to be able to see that. And I think it'll be good for the sport as well because you're going to remove a lot of those egregious, you know, ball and strike calls, right? Because you're just going to be like, that was way off the plate. Let me challenge it. So I think that'll be good for baseball next year. So hopefully, you know, we start limiting a lot of these really bad calls in baseball.
It's interesting. And, you know, part of it is, you know, with the advancement in 4K TV and everything else we have, I mean, you could see replays really, really clear at home. It's not just the officials can see. I mean, you can see it at clear, whether you're at home, whether you're sitting in the bar and you can have half the time if you're at a bar watching a game, those people know within 20 seconds where it may take a minute and a half for an official to do it. But the advancements in technology, you kind of know what's going on before they do. I mean, you really do. That helps. But also, if these leagues want to get in bed with gambling and the DraftKings and the FanDuels and all this, there's a lot of money at stake to get things right.
You have to be buttoned up. Especially, you know, with
if you want to take all that money from them, that's fine, man. It's free country. But if you're going to do it, get it right.
Be buttoned up. And, you know, the old mantra that if you ask 100 drunk guys in a bar and they can all come to the same conclusion on whether it was a fumble or a catch or anything then, you know, that's the sort of decisions that should be made. It's so frustrating when, you know, you watch a play and you're like, how was this called? And then they, you know, don't get an explanation. That's why when I think it was the USFL, when they had the sky judge, not only did they have the sky judge, but they also had them explaining to the fans that were watching the game why they made that decision. And I think that if there was more transparency in that sense, I think that would really help fans understand where they're coming from. Because, you know, maybe we would disagree with it, but we would also understand where you're coming from and we can all go our separate ways.
Yeah, the 660 is asking us right here on the text line. By the way, our Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Did either of you happen to watch the Nebraska-Ohio State game? Your thoughts on the screw job by the river? Yes, we were talking about that because that was not targeting. But Ohio State ends up winning the game. The other thing, too, Missouri, the Alabama game, the fair catch. And I know Missouri, we'll get to them. They were just absolutely rolled by Alabama. Drew Pine sucks, by the way. This is one of the worst quarterback. Honestly, this is one of the worst quarterback performances I've ever seen in my life. And I watch a lot of football, to be honest. You know that. But the fair catch, if you call a fair catch, you can advance it. And, you know, they go back to the rules official say, well, he was bobbling the ball. True. He was bobbling the ball.
But then you
can't
turn upfield.
But he turned upfield. I mean, there was a conscious effort to turn upfield. And, like, the announcers didn't get that. It was so bad. I mean, they're watching the rules officials. Like, wait a minute. I understand the bobbling the ball and getting possession. You need to do that. But you can't turn and be facing forward. That was an advancement of an onside kick, which is highly illegal.
And Missouri's head coach was losing it on the
Eli
sideline.
Eli was pissed. I don't blame him, though, because
that was
free and clear.
Yeah.
And what the SEC will do, they'll go back. They'll send Missouri a letter this week and say we were wrong on that call. It doesn't matter, though. Missouri was absolutely hammerjacked against Alabama.
Yeah, you and Drew will have a fun conversation about that here at the 11 o'clock hour.
Oh, we will. I mean, that's just, I understand, you know, you lose your starting quarterback, Brady Cook. But do you think Indiana complained? They lost their, quote, Heisman Trophy Rourke quarterback that they had. Indiana, they go Taven Jackson, backup quarterback at Indiana. They go to 8-0. They beat Washington at home. You know, you got to have a backup, man, especially in college football. You got Neil money and all this. And I understand Sam Horton's hurt and you don't have him this year. But you got to have something better than Drew ride the pine. That was. I mean, those interceptions were absolutely peewee football-esque.
Yeah, and, you know, we know college football lies about height and weight. No way in hell is Drew Pine 5'11". No way. That guy, no. He can't see over. He was struggling to see over the line like Kyler Murray, okay? There's no way that Drew Pine is 5'11".
But Kyler Murray finds a way to, like, get out of the pocket and scramble
around. Yeah, he's athletic enough to where he can overcome it. Drew Pine is not.
Yeah, I mean, the height and weights are always funny, especially receivers. We, like, on character concerns, we take a real, you know, hard look. And we always look, if you're 6'3", no, you're actually about 6'1.5" when they get to the combine and measure them. That's just the way it goes. That's the home cooking you get on the home rosters. That's the way it was in high school. You know, we were, quote, 250 when we actually were, like, 230. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because your scholarships are riding, like, you know, there's a big difference between being 6'2", 250 and being 6', 220. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a scholarship on the line. Now, in today's, you know, game, you know, linebackers are smaller. You can be 6', 5'11", stuff like that, as long as you got the speed to play linebacker. But there's some dollar signs mixed in with height.
Yeah, and, you know, being a talked-about draft prospect, you know, we hear, like, wide receivers like you just brought up, you know, there's a difference between being a 6'1" wide receiver and a 5'11" wide receiver. Like, those inches matter, especially when you're trying to make it into the NFL.
Yeah, no question about it. So we got college football. We'll talk to Drew Nixon, as we do each and every week, 11 o'clock, about a wild college football slate. It was the first time this year you had five games matching both teams that were ranked in those games. Great weekend of college football, and locally too. If you're a Kansas fan and you gave K-State all they want, it's got to be frustrating if you're Kansas when you have those close losses at the end of the game. Got to be extremely frustrating. Or for Kansas State, that fully probably expected to pound Kansas in that game. And Missouri, they just got rolled at A&M. They got rolled at Alabama. I mean, this team is a team that Gary Pinkel had in the SEC title game twice, so it can be done. But Alabama is extremely vulnerable this year, and they were extremely vulnerable in that game, but Missouri gave them absolutely no challenge. There was absolutely zero hope for the Missouri Tigers. We'll talk about the Chiefs and Raiders coming up next, the Chiefs' dominance over the Raiders, and will it be the game that they don't want to see, the Puppet Gate?
Stuff like that happens. It'll get handled when it gets handled.
Well, today at 3:25, it can get handled. We'll discuss that next. And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris. Happy Sunday to you. Happy Revenge Sunday, so to speak. Raiders, Chiefs, Las Vegas. Chiefs 4-0 at Arrowhead West. They won the Super Bowl there this past year at Allegiant Stadium. Andy Reid, 5 wins inside Allegiant Stadium. Josh McDaniels, the all-time leader inside that stadium, was 6. So Andy Reid could tie for the most wins by a head coach in Allegiant Stadium today.
Raiders are so dysfunctional, and I love it.
You know, they really are, and I call this 2.0, AFC West 2.0. It's the second round. Remember a couple of years ago when everybody spent the money? Russell Wilson goes to Denver. Sean Payton goes in there. Didn't work. J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack, company go to the Chargers. Brandon Staley was there. It's Jim Harbaugh. Raiders, Devontae Adams comes in. Chandler Jones, Joshua Daniels, It's 2.0 right now in the AFC West. Chargers, that's going fine. The Raiders or the Broncos and their defense, the way they're playing, do they have the answer in Bo Nix? I don't think so, but we'll see what happens. But this is 2.0 as far as the AFC West is concerned. But Andy Reid has been absolutely dominant against the Raiders in his career. Matter of fact, 11-2 in the last 13, 16-3 in the last 19. Last 22, 18-4. Of course, the game last year, it woke the Chiefs up. I mean, they did lose to the Raiders at home on Christmas Day. Ruined everybody's Christmas. It did. It was coal in the stockings, is what it was. Aiden O'Connell didn't have a completion in the second, third, and fourth quarter, and they found a way to lose. The Super Bowl champions lost the game, not yielding a completed pass by Aiden O'Connell in that game. But it woke the Chiefs up because they hit that crossroads, I always call it, Quentin. The Chiefs had two ways to go. Either they could feel sorry for themselves, they're down, they lose the Bengals the next week, who knows what could happen, but you have two ways to go. Dynasty or downfall. Dynasty or downfall, they chose dynasty. But the Raiders game did wake them up last year.
It had to, right? That was the last chance because after that, the schedule got difficult again, and you were facing the Bengals, who you know were also in a playoff hunt, and it was just like, what are you doing? The Bengals were down, their quarterback was hurt. What are you going to do? And if the Chiefs would have moseyed on in there and felt bad for themselves, there's a chance that the Chiefs lose to the Bengals, and you know we're talking about them maybe not hosting a playoff game, maybe not being in the playoffs, because that was a game that we see other teams all around the league. You know, you lose one game, it quickly turns to two, it turns into three, and that can end your season. Because the Chiefs, let's be honest, last year, you know, they were on the verge of us talking about them. Is this team going to miss the playoffs? You know, is that the conversation that we were having last year in Kansas City?
It was dynasty or downfall, man.
It really was.
It was an interesting predicament that the Chiefs were in, that was for sure, but it woke them. It completely woke him up. Our phone number, 913-586-7965. Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Speaking of the Bengals that you mentioned, T. Higgins inactive today for the Cincinnati Bengals against Philadelphia. I don't know which game you're going to do when we do our upsets of the week at 1045, which, by the way, you're 5-1 this year. I'm 4-2-1 so far this year. Isn't that the records? Oh, see, I know that you're 5-1.
Whatever. What week are we in? What NFL week is this?
This is week 8.
So I'm 6-1.
You're 6-1.
Yeah, 6-1. Yeah, because we've done this for seven games.
You're 6-1. I'm 4-2-1.
Yeah.
So close losses.
The only loss I have is because the Patriots wide receiver or tight end couldn't get his front of his foot down in the end zone and instead got his heel in first.
Yeah, you're off to a good year. I hope you're betting these. I mean, we are in Kansas, so you can do what you want. I mean, honestly, I think both of us would be making some cash.
Yeah.
On these predictions.
I mean, both have winning records.
We do have winning records, and that's all that matters.
And if we're always betting the underdog, you know, we're getting good odds on them.
It is, and it's an interesting thing. Well, this week was a big week, obviously, because last week we talked about, all right, receivers, which direction are you going to go? I mean, there's people out there, Deontay Johnson. The big news last week, you know, was Cooper Kupp. Maybe the Cooper Kupp coming to Kansas City. That was going to be, you know, a lot of talk. First of all, how was the money going to work out? Because the Chiefs had to restructure Juwan Taylor, which freed up $5.3 million for the Chiefs. So they do have some money to go play around with if they want to make another move, which I don't think they're completely done. But DeAndre Hopkins, and I know nationally people are like, what are the Chiefs doing? They don't have the money to go out and get a Davante Adams. And you have to have a trade partner as well. They're not going to trade him in the division. I know we've seen dumb stuff with, you know, the Bills and the Ravens, you know, helping the Chiefs out. And the Raiders are a dumb team. So naturally you would think, all right, well, the Raiders would move Davante Adams. He didn't want to come to Kansas City. That's fine. DeAndre Hopkins is like the perfect fit, though. You don't want this guy, you know, for next year, 2 years. You don't need that. Who cares he's over 30 years old? It doesn't matter. One thing about DeAndre Hopkins does is what?
He catches the football.
To be honest with you, DeAndre Hopkins might have the best hands that any receivers ever had in Kansas City. Not kidding. I mean, his hands, 3.6% career drop rate. His 3 years he spent in Arizona, 315 targets. You know how many drops he had? Three. That's 1%. In 2018, he didn't have a single drop. As Matt McMullen pointed out, 69.1% of his career catches have either A, been for a touchdown or a first down. That's almost a 70% clip, okay? Getting either a first down or a touchdown every catch you have. He's a red zone matchup nightmare for defenses. Can run a lot of those Rashee Rice type of inside type moves. And this is what you need. These are the type of moves that you make. And I remember, you know, Sammy Watkins, when he was with the Chiefs, would get hurt and stuff like this. But when the Chiefs went on that Super Bowl run, Mahomes' first Super Bowl they got, he averaged almost 100 yards a game receiving. He had 96 yards. That's what you need. So I know DeAndre Hopkins coming in right now, and you're saying, what? His play is going to be limited. I mean, they're not going to run him a ton of routes. That's okay. Because what you really need is for him and the postseason. The Chiefs have shown you they can win. It's get to the second season, the only season that matters. When you look at the schedule, I mean, the Chiefs are primed to be 14-3, 15-2. I mean, I know people are talking about being undefeated and stuff like that, but I think the Chiefs would clearly trade playing some backups and getting some well-needed rest towards the end of the year, because the only thing that matters is winning that ring. I understand the draw of being undefeated, and really we can start talking about when they go to Buffalo, if they're able to beat Buffalo on the road, which Buffalo gets up for these regular season games much more than they do the postseason. But that's when you need DeAndre Hopkins is in the postseason. And actually, when they look at this deal, the Chiefs aren't looking. They want somebody to help them till February. That's what matters.
Yeah. You know, I'm not ready to start talking undefeated season. Not now, you know, because this, to me, would be like if you're watching a baseball game and you're in the fourth inning and the guy's got a no-hitter going. It's too early to talk about the no-hitter. So same here with the undefeated season. But to DeAndre Hopkins, you know, the Chiefs, as from an ETA standpoint, which is just an advanced metric that tells you how efficient your offense is, the Chiefs are a very efficient offense, and it's because they're able to run the ball 3-4 yards, 5 yards.
Yeah, they're number 2 in running efficiency in the NFL, even though they're limited in runs over 11 yards,
right?
Which is one.
They are not getting explosive plays, but they're being very efficient and continuing to get the old stay ahead of the change thing, right? That's what they're able to do. They're not getting into a lot of fourth and, or third and long, second and longs. Patrick Mahomes doesn't take a lot of sacks. So they're able to stay ahead of the chains, and they're very efficient. The problem is that just like you brought up there, is that Kansas City doesn't have explosive plays either. So they're efficient, but if they get behind the sticks, they sort of snowball, right, into, you know, going 3 and out and ending in a punt, or, you know, maybe getting one first down and punting the ball.
But they do have that ability. I mean, Xavier Worthy, it's a stretch to the field.
But now with DeAndre
and Justin
Hopkins.
Justin Watson at times, you know, here and there. And DeAndre Hopkins, you know, making those, keeping the chains moving, man.
Yes,
that 3rd and 7, catching the football.
Yes.
Instead of bringing out Matt Araiza to punt the football, or the ball bouncing in on your hands. And I know people were enamored with Juju a few weeks ago when he had 7 for 130. He was left wide open, right? The Saints did not even give him nearly the respect. And of course, he had that big drop that went straight in the hands of Colin Saunders. You can't have that stuff, man. That ended up being a 13-point swing. Like, I don't care about 130 yards receiving if you have the ball bounce out of your hands into somebody, and the Saints ended up going down and scoring a touchdown there. They missed the extra point, 13-point swing. Just catch the football. There's nothing that drives me more than them dropping the ball.
And with DeAndre, what the Chiefs really need right now is they need a guy to catch the ball between 5 and 12 yards, 5 and 15 yards. That's sort of, you know, those medium gains that can help Kansas City stay in front of the chains. And if you do get in a second and long, can you either pick up the first down or get in the good old-fashioned third manageable? And that's what Kansas City's offense is really missing right now. And on top of that, how many times have we talked about Kansas City settling for field goals when the offense has been cruising for 75 yards, they get within first and goal, and they aren't able to punch the ball in? DeAndre Hopkins is going to help with that. Like you just said, he is very good about either getting first downs or touchdowns, and that's exactly what Kansas City's offense needs. I thought that's why that this was such a good move by Kansas City, because you had a problem, and you found a guy for a really good deal to be able to come in and solve that problem. He's not the DeAndre Hopkins of, you know, 2019, but he is still a damn good wide receiver, and that's what Kansas City needed.
He doesn't have to be. That's the question.
Exactly.
Have to be. And as far as the Raiders are concerned, all right, yeah, defensively, they're limited, especially in points per game. They're not good. But they're good against the pass. They're 8th against the pass this year, and they're also number 2 in third down efficiency on defense. I mean, that's, you know, kind of when you look in the numbers where the Raiders are good. And obviously, Brock Bowers, it's the closest thing to Travis Kelce. It's been coming out of the draft in the longest time. This dude's on pace to have the most catches ever for time. He's number 2 in the NFL in yardage and catches, and that's at a tight end. And the Chiefs struggled against a tight end. So that's something they have. And Max Crosby on defense has always been a problem. And listen, the Raiders are not a good team, but they did go into Baltimore and beat the Ravens. So it can happen. And you can't take a team like that lightly.
No, you can't take them lightly. And, you know, the thing is that the Raiders' secondary is just so bad that I think that can help you limit their pass rush, and being able to, you know, Patrick Mahomes is so good at being able to get the ball out quick. And so by doing that, I know Kansas City's tackles have struggled this year. So hopefully, you know, that's sort of the idea going into the game. I will say this, is that something was really weird earlier in the week. Max Crosby did not practice on Thursday with an ankle injury, but he was a full participant on Friday and Wednesday.
That's the way it's been going with him. He'll play.
Yeah, I know.
100% he'll play.
It's just,
and they're not trading him either.
No. No, you need something to build
Detroit.
Around.
Yeah, they're going to keep him. I'm sure Tom Brady is fine with Devontae Adams going, but you don't want to get rid because now he's part of that ownership group. So I'm sure that he'll be part of decisions going forward. But yes, the Raiders are good on third down efficiency. They yield third downs just 28.9% of the time. That's what they've been doing, but they've been very good, you know, against the pass. Eighth in the NFL against the pass. And again, not a great team, but they did win in Baltimore. The quote, flavor of the week in the NFL, everybody loves them, which I think is funny. Their defense much better last year, 100% better last year with Mike McDonald than it is this year. They're 32nd in the NFL against the pass, the Raiders. 14 yards a game worse than the Jaguars. That's how bad they are. They're 25th in the NFL in points against. They're good at stopping the run. I'll give them that.
They have a – well, think of where they invested.
But they're horrible against the pass. And not only that, the Chiefs haven't given up 30 points in 2 years. Baltimore's done it two of the last 3 weeks. So the two word, 2 years for the Chiefs, two of the last 3 weeks for the Ravens.
I mean, if you think about, you know, where the Raiders have spent their free agent money, and it's been at that defensive line position, right? DN, defensive interior, right? Because they realize if they're going to try and beat Mahomes, you know, the good old, what do they call them? The Michael Jordan rules, right? They're just going to go and try and beat the hell out of the other quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do. But they forgot that there are seven other positions on defense that you need guys to play.
Yeah, 100%. Coming up next, though, DeAndre Hopkins did speak earlier this week. What do they expect of DeAndre himself? What he said. By the way, James Palmer put out to expect DeAndre Hopkins to play today and actually play a good amount. A few factors played into this. Hop's football IQ, the Chiefs, the work they put in on Hopkins during free agency before 2023, and especially wide receiver coach Connor Embry, who got Hopkins up to speed. Again, he's been playing for 12 years. He's been an all-pro. Not just Pro Bowl, but all-pro. He knows what he's doing. He's got 79 touchdown catches in his career. By the way, Andre Johnson's going to the Hall of Fame this year, had 70. So I think D-Hop, not only that, he's got to catch every single football game he's ever played, 168. He's got an active streak of 168. That was the only guy that's got a longer active streak catching than Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce's 164 straight games with the catch. So they have number one and number two active streaks in the NFL now with DeAndre Hopkins and Travis Kelce. And Kelce did have that streak, remember, of 114 straight games of at least three catches that ended against Cincinnati, but he still got a catch. So they have number one and two active streaks in catches in the National Football League. So good stuff ahead for the Chiefs. But hear from DeAndre Hopkins, Andy Reid, what he expects from him in the game today. But, you know, expect him to play quite a bit today. And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris. Saw Quentin hope to sell on Friday night. Fans football show was a good time. Don't forget, we'll be out. Mitch Schwartz and I will be out in Lee Summit. Lee Summit out on Chipman Road to the Buffalo Wild Wings there. And something I didn't know, I love Mountain Dew a lot. I didn't realize that Buffalo Wild Wings is a special Mountain Dew made just for Buffalo Wild Wings. So absolutely love that. I'll be wired up on Mountain Dew, as I am already now, later today with the Chiefs and Raiders game. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. 913-586-7965. Same as Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. 913-586-7965. Dan in KCK. What's up, Dan?
Good morning, Bink. How you doing? I think the Chiefs will have hammered the Raiders today. Well,
that's right, Dan.
Deal on the Christmas Day loss. You know, well, who was the Raiders player that did that in the preseason? Oh,
in which preseason? Oh, the Trey Taylor, the Buffett?
Yeah, the puppet deal. Who did that, I think?
It was Trey Taylor, a seventh-round pick for the Raiders. I will say this. That was uncharacteristic of him. I think he got caught up at the moment in training camp. But clearly, you know, stuff like that is great for the Kansas City Chiefs going forward, because any kind of motivation they can have is great. Because a lot of times you have to search for that motivation when you're a great football team and you don't know. Trey Taylor, it is weird to say. I mean, because, again, it's uncharacteristic. The guy's an Air Force Academy grad. All right, he was drafted out of the Air Force Academy. He's going to be a pilot in the United States military. And so it's very uncharacteristic. I mean, he's taking advantage of that loophole, which is he can play in the NFL now and then do his service time later, where now the rule has been switched. He was grandfathered in, which you have to do 2 years in the military before playing in pro football. But, yeah, it was uncharacteristic because of kind of the character that he actually is.
Yeah, I've been getting all me and Dan, my other roommate, we'll be going to the Buccaneers game in 2 weeks. Yeah, Dan's got tickets from the Special Olympics.
Nice. You going to that Monday night football game, the one without Chris Godwin? Yep. Oh, man, it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yep.
Well, you have a great time out there, Dan.
What do you think about it? The Dodgers are doing pretty good, or the Yankees. And what did you think about Aaron Boone's decision in game one going with Cortez?
First of all, you know, Freddie Freeman does really well with the bases loaded against and he still pitched him, and he walked to get the Freddie Freeman, and Freddie Freeman made him pay. But walk-off grand slams are just – those are epic. And now the Yankees find themselves in a 2-0 hole. But Ohtani's hurt. We'll see if Ohtani, you know, gets back for the Yankees game. But that's it. That's definitely a concern. Thanks a lot, Dan. Enjoy the game today. Much appreciated. Steven in KC. What's up, Steven?
Oh, Bank, man. These are the days we live for, man. It's that day. That was my – after the Kermit stunt in training camp, that was my one of my favorite retorts to a incident ever. Say, we're going to take care of this when the time comes. Well, today is when the time comes.
Yeah, today's when you cast that check.
When little brother gets smacked down like a peon, man. I can't wait. I can't wait for this, especially with D-Hop back. Those 50-50 balls now become 70-30 or 80-20. You watch. You throw to this guy. He's got six times the normal fingers like Arnold Palmer. He's the Arnold Palmer of NFL wide receivers, man. This is gonna be fun today. Just beat the living crap out of him.
What's your prediction today? Because the Chiefs do keep games relatively close, even though I think they put their two best complete games the last 2 weeks. Even though the score doesn't always indicative of that, but the Chiefs dominated physically the last two games for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you that, you know, the Chiefs have definitely looked better. It's just unfortunate that the score doesn't reflect that. I do think that, you know, this game is one of those games that Kansas City just looks dominant from the beginning. I imagine that, you know, this is the NFL. Teams don't get shut out. So I do think that they're able to get a couple field goals and maybe a touchdown. But I don't think the score is really that close once we take a final look at the scoreboard.
I don't think so. The Trey Taylor thing, I'm sure they'll use that in the Kermit. And here's the one thing about it. When seventh-round picks do this, you know what happens is, and what you need to happen, have guys like Max Crosby, you know, inside the locker room. Dude, come on, man. You don't need to give Mahomes any more extra motivation because he lives by that stuff. And he'll make you remember. I remember counting to where he's drafted against the Bears. It's the Nick Saban used to call it rat poison. Like it's always good to have somebody say something negative against you. I'll never forget the 15 Royals, right? Everybody was loving them up because they were so good in 14. They were the darling of the league. And in 15, there was hardly anything written bad about them in the preseason, but they found that one writer that put the Royals like near the bottom of the division. I'm never going to forget Christian Colon coming on talking about how the Royals, you know, use that for motivation because everybody's telling you how good you are. The one thing about the Chiefs is anytime they just hop on social media or NFL Network or whatever, you have people doubting him. You'll have people giving praise again to those Baltimore Ravens with the 32nd worst pass defense in the NFL out of 32 teams, the flavor of the weeks. When the Chiefs are undefeated, that's a big deal. And they beat Baltimore. You know, they've beaten them. They've beaten Baltimore. They've beaten Cincinnati. They went on the road and beat the 49ers. I know they had injuries, so the Chiefs. Big deal. That's what happens.
Yeah, it's the thing is that there are this. I think the reason is that the Chiefs don't just look like they used to, right? And I think that's really the big thing is that if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have looked similar to like this in the past, like if he didn't come out with his 5,000 yards and 50 touchdown season, and Patrick Mahomes, you know, for most of his career was just an efficient quarterback, and the Chiefs had played through their defense, I think the conversation would be the same. But it, not just Chiefs fans, but nationally, you know, they're striving and they're looking to be like, man, you know, he should be better. He's playing so bad. You know, those are the conversations that are happening when, you know, those things come out. And then you look at a team like the Lions or Baltimore, who have blown teams out, who have just looked totally dominant on both sides of the ball. Those are the teams that people are going to start talking about and talking about how they're better than X team because they had one game where they just looked totally unstoppable.
Yeah, no question about it. But the whole thing with the Trey Taylor thing is, I mean, the guy did win the Jim Thorpe Award. And again, we're talking about a future pilot in the United States military. So I think that was kind of uncharacteristic for him to do, to be quite honest with you. So we'll see what happens. Didn't get to the Chiefs, and as far as what DeAndre Hopkins said about playing time today and Andy Reid, but according to James Palmer, looks like you're going to see him out there playing quite a bit. And again, he knows the route tree. He knows what to do, and he can catch the football. Enormous hands that DeAndre Hopkins has. So we'll hear from him next. And welcome back. Jay Binkley, Quint Morris. You have fun on the Fans Football Show the other night, Quint? We get a little geeky on that, man. In a good way. In a good way. 100%. It's always great to hear Mitch's, you know, thought. Mitch Schwartz, you know, he was in there when they, do we have time to run WASP? Like to have a guy that was in the huddle when they had a chance to do one of those catches. But this week, DeAndre Hopkins talked to the media in Kansas City. He was all about business, man. He was all about business, 100%. He stood on business, and I love that. But here was his thought about the importance of playing for a Super Bowl team like the Chiefs.
Very important. I think I've done a lot, all the accolades that I can accomplish as far as personal. So I think, you know, just playing meaningful football in January is, you know, what's left on the list.
That's what's left on the list. Borderline Hall of Fame career, it's the only thing he's got is to win that ring. Here was D-Hop's thoughts on playing with Pat.
Always been a fan of Pat. Stayed in touch with him throughout his career. So, you know, excited to go get started.
So there's DeAndre Hopkins meeting with the media on that. Here's Andy Reid, who's, you know, he couldn't speak because it wasn't officially done until he talked later on this week, but he talked about what D-Hop brings to the Chiefs.
Well, I think not necessarily lacking, but he's a veteran player and seen just about everything over 12 years. So and he's a good space player. So he's very good understanding how to work in space. At the same time, he's a tough matchup because of his size, arm length, you know, big body that knows how to kind of play that low post area very well.
And he catches everything, and that's the question. James Palmer read you the tweet. They expect a lot of DeAndre Hopkins today. Here's Andy Reid, and I love his comment. Is D-Hop going to play today?
Well, it could be this weekend. Yeah, we'll see how he picks up. I've got to get him on the practice field. But, right, you know, why wait, right, if he can handle it without putting him in a bad position?
Why wait? I mean, you got the toy? And you use them. You use what you have available, and the Chiefs have been, you know, hurting in the wide receiver department. If Hollywood Brown does make himself back this year, can you imagine D-Hop? I mean, I would have loved to seen, you know, Forrest. I'd love to see Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy and DeAndre Hopkins and Hollywood Brown. I mean, that, in a perfect world, I'd love to see it, but we have seen a ton of wide receiver injuries in the NFL this year.
We've seen a lot of just injuries and to big names in general. But
yeah, and by the way, T. Higgins, as I mentioned earlier, inactive today for the Bengals, speaking of good wide receivers.
This might go down as one of the bigger what-if, you know, offensive years in Mahomes' career, right? Because, you know, heading into that, we were all, when Hollywood Brown got signed, we knew that Rice had improved himself from last year. After they drafted Worthy, all of us for months, we were looking at this team and we were like, man, you know, Patrick Mahomes is talking about how he wants to have fun and he wants to go throw the ball deep down again. And it's just like, yes, this is what we want. This is what we're excited for. And then it has just slowly fallen apart over the first couple months of the season. So we're making adjustments. You brought in a guy that, you know, everybody should be excited about. And this will be the first chance we get to see DeAndre Hopkins.
Per Diana Russini on Twitter, DeAndre Hopkins begins as Chiefs shifter today. One AFC head coach said is essentially the wide receiver version of Kelsey as far as being a route runner. May not always look like he does it on the diagram, but he finds a way to get open and make the catch. And that's the one thing. That's going to be something that keeps building throughout the year, you know. Like the Kelce, the improvised routes that he runs, just finds a way to get open, and Mahomes finds him. I expect a lot with DeAndre Hopkins, but this is why I think this is Andy Reid's best year coaching. And clearly last year, when you think about beating 1-3-4, scoring defenses in the postseason on the road or a neutral facility, was awesome for the Chiefs. But Andy Reid went to training camp with a completely different offense that he ended up with in the regular season. I mean, you're out there with, you know, the speed on both sides, Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown, and you got Rashee Rice to eat up the middle, and then all of a sudden you're forced in the situation. You're going into game with a rookie, Justin Watson. You're running 14 personnel by having Jody Fortson active on game days to be able to run four tight ends. The ground and pound, we've seen almost as many inside zone runs for the Chiefs this year between the, you know, behind the center, Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and Joe Tooney. Then we saw last year, the inside zone run's been prevalent in this Chiefs offense. They've run almost, they ran it 59 times a season ago, and they're nearly to that limit now. Going forward, they've taken advantage of the inside zone run, the ground to pound. Seemingly, they have their answer now on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1, and it's good to see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kareem Hunt, when he was brought back, I had very low expectations of what he was going to be able to do. And I thought that, you know, Carson Steele was probably going to be the guy. And then Kareem Hunt was more of a backup plan. But he has proved me as wrong as you possibly could have proved me wrong. He's still got a lot of tread on the tires. He's still a physical runner, and he is not afraid to bulldoze people over, you know, 300-pound linemen trying to tackle him, and he can just carry him.
He's been a breath of fresh air. And again,
truly,
you know,
has.
Here was a guy that was on the couch, like Juju was. They come in here and help this football team. I mean, it's been unbelievable what Andy Reid's been able to do and this coaching staff's been able to do with their talent moving forward. It's why I think it's Andy Reid's best year, because it's your ability to adapt. It's your ability to overcome. And that's what the Chiefs had to do. And you hear nationally, you know, when people talk about the Chiefs and you buying into them or not, well, they're 6-0. And being undefeated in the NFL is a tough thing to do. Ask the Vikings, who have lost back-to-back games now that were the flavor of the week in the National Football League. Everybody in this whole league has at least two losses except for the Lions. Lions, Chiefs, the only ones. Lions have one blemish. Chiefs have none. Everybody else, two losses so far. Really quick, let's go to the phone lines before we have Drew Nixon talking college football coming up here at 11. Have to go to my man, Big T and Shawnee. What's up, Big T?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call, Bink. Man, it's Breakfast with Bink, man. You're one of my favorites, Bink. So to honor you, I did biscuits and gravy and keep with the beef theme. Ooh. I did Eggs Benedict, too, Bink.
Did you grab a straw and drink that gravy when you're done?
Oh, man, you got it. You know it, Bink.
Thanks,
you know it.
Big T.
This time of year, we're big guys. We love this time of year. And then keep with the beat team, beat down on the Raiders. But I want to talk about the World Series a little bit. I thoroughly enjoyed watching the Dodgers just beat the pond scum Yankees. I hate the Yankees. I've always loathed them. I'm not much of a Dodgers fan either, but, you know, it's pick your poison.
Why was Aaron Boone blocking to get to Freddie Freeman, who's got four home runs and a .640 batting average against lefties? I mean,
he's
that left out of the analytics? Come on.
Yeah, Boone's a crybaby. It's always nice to see him mess up like that. And I thoroughly like watching the Yankees suffer. You know, they've underachieved those big markets, big money. It's about time they finally did something. But I thoroughly enjoyed the K-State KU game yesterday. That was fun to listen to on 610, everybody. I loved it. I listen to 610 still, because you get the feed faster.
Because you're old school.
Yeah, old school.
We're still there, the Fan, 610 a.m., so take advantage of it, Big T.
I love it, man.
You're going old school.
I am. And then, you know, finally, the Chiefs, man, you're right. Big Red, we're in good hands. I'm just wondering today, it's really got to grind the Raiders' gear when we're going to hear home of the Chiefs in their stadium. They're a bunch of punk asses. I've said it before, I'll say it again. They will always reside at the intersection of Loser Street and Suck-Ass Avenue. Pat Mahomes, he's a badass mofo. He'll be fine. Our running game's pounding. That interior line is a weapon. We should utilize that. I'm glad they're doing it. Keep pounding the rock. Let's get some touchdowns today, Travis Kelce. And as always, let's go Chiefs.
Choo-choo! Yeah, I mean, Dodgers and Yankees, I mean, seriously, it's a little bit like kissing your cousin or your sister. You know what I'm saying? They're big market teams. I mean, honestly, both of them can lose and I wouldn't give a damn, but obviously somebody's got to win. But you know, it's hard for me to root for big payroll teams, but I never like to see the Yankees win. That's for sure on that fig. By the way, all these walk-ins are starting to happen in the NFL. Everybody's dressing in their costumes. This is the big weekend for people to, you know, everybody dresses fancy, you know, and stuff to do their walk into the stadium. Everybody's wearing their costumes now, which you and I did not do today, which I appreciate. Anyway, coming up next, we'll talk college football. Drew Nixon, the executive producer of Coding Gold, joins us each and every week at 11 o'clock. We'll dive into college football next.